I have decided to beat up on me today. Amen. Because I have allowed myself to become very emotional about things. And that's not good.
No, it's not.
Because emotionalism allows sensationalism to set in.
Yeah.
And can't have that.
That's right.
Especially when God is moving the way he's moving. We are in the book of Romans. We're going to be in the 7th chapter. Romans comes first in the order of the 3 doctrinal epistles. We know that Romans is doctrine and instruction. It's important that we understand that Romans has to be interpreted the right way. If you don't interpret Romans right, then you're not going to get the rest of them right. Romans is first because it deals with dispensational, it deals with doctrinal proportion. It deals with dispensation teaching. Dispensation means a general state or the order of things. Dispensational means the principle of hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is that which literally interpretation, which means is giving each word a common word or a common meaning or an everyday language. So it's very well understood. The problem is, most folks haven't understood what Romans represents, and they go to Ephesians. When Paul went into Rome, God had given him a mandate that it was time for him to not just minister to those that are at Rome, but also to the Gentile, Jew, Greek, and Gentile alike, so that the word would bring a power in their lives to understand that there's no more separation.
Amen.
Though he was under a lot of persecution and affliction, he continued to teach the word that God had given him. When we understand that God is bringing us together and tying us together through the word of God, not through our flesh, Jew and Gentile alike, that until the fullness of time has come, during the period of the blindness or the hardness that also happened to Israel and will also happen in this earth. Well, men's hearts will be hardened against the things of God. If you've been paying attention, you've already begun to notice a lot of these things taking place. For the simple fact that people, they know of God, but they don't know God. When you get into a situation and you don't know God, then it's very simply for you to harden your heart against the truth. In the book of Romans, in the 7th chapter, Paul was experiencing some situations that he did not understand. I understand it because where I am, there are battles going on in his flesh. But as most Christians or most believers, he's not sure at first, because it's a new experience. It's okay when you deal with it, when you're being afflicted or persecuted by others.
Yeah.
But when you find out that your persecution and your affliction is coming from within, that's a different story.
Amen.
We have the ability to make ourselves sad or happy.
Amen.
We can encourage ourselves or we can discourage ourselves.
Amen.
We don't need any help being discouraged. We find a way to do it. At this particular time in Paul's life, he had found a way to discourage himself. But the good thing about it was he used the word of God to interpret what was going on in his flesh. In the 7th chapter of Romans, look at the 7th verse. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, had I not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. He said, if it wasn't for the word law, I would have never known that I couldn't live this life.
Right.
I would have never known that I was wrong.
Right.
So the law had a very great principle in my life. But I have to come to the understanding that the law is not sin. Or if you look at the word sin, it doesn't say sins. What he's saying is the law is separate from the spirit. verse 9, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived itself. Sin came alive. When the law came, the old nature revived itself, because now the old nature realized that he had the authority back that he had lost in the garden. How did he get his authority back? Because now he can make you feel bad about things that you were doing, that you didn't know were wrong. But now that you know wrong, if you do it, there's an interpretation in your flesh that brings forth discouragement. So as he's realizing, man, this old man done revived himself. I thought he was dead. You know, when we give our heart and lives to God and we commit ourselves to doing the will of God, and we read our Bibles and we pray all the time, and we just trust God for everything.
Yeah.
After a while, we start to realize that there are some problems in our lives. What that is once you have received the Spirit of the living God, the old man starts to revive himself, because now what is the Word of God? The old man has turned into the law. And now the law is passing judgment upon you. But Paul said there is no more condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That means that the law is condemned unto itself, not the word of the living God, but the law itself. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, verse 11, taking occasion. For the old man, I'll read it first. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, by it slew me. For all the old nature obtained opportunity through the law or the commandment that said, you shall be holy, or thou shalt not covet, or thou shalt not sin against God, thou shalt not have no other God but God. These laws that Jesus transformed differently, because now they were about to become under grace. They were the same laws. He didn't change the law. He changed the interpretation of the law. Because there was no actual grace that we know of until Jesus came. So the old nature, through occasion or through opportunity, deceived me, tricked me. He beguiled me. He entrapped me. I don't know about you, but I've been entrapped by this old boy a whole lot. I've been tricked, not by outside, but by myself. Because I allow myself. You know what I found out? No one can make you do anything unless you've already decided to do it. That's why we need to stop playing the name game. If we're in it, we're in it. If we did it, we did it. And accept responsibility for it. That's what both of us. Wherefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Even though the law caused the old man to revive himself, it's still good. Because regardless of what it brought to my remembrance, it's still the word of God.
Right.
He said, look, don't get me wrong now. I know the law has revived my old nature, but still, it's still God's word.
Yes.
He was, my goodness, he was experiencing some things that just shook him up. Years ago, I was complaining about some things I was going through, and I was blaming this, and I was blaming that. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to open my Bible, and whatever I open it to, this is what you're going to tell me. And I opened my Bible, I think I told you, to the 7th chapter of Romans. And I began to read Romans. And when I got through the 7th chapter, my life was completely changed. The reason it was changed, because now what I thought was good, I found out that it wasn't. And while I was passing blame on devil and people and things, I found out that actually it was coming from within me. If I didn't see it like that, then it wouldn't be like that. Most people don't hate people until they discover with themselves, or that's pointed out to them, that that person hates them. I'm running through this. So 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. He said, look what this old boy is doing to me. That which is good made death unto me. That which I thought was good has become death unto me. Because I've come to the realization I can't live like that. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me. Well, we know the wages of sin is what?
Death.
I realized often, and this is what I realized this fact, that sin revived itself to show unto me, to make himself known that death might be in me. Through my actions, through my feelings, through my emotions, through my sensationalism, through lifestyle. Through principles that I was allowing to operate in my life that didn't actually glorify God. I thought they did, but they didn't. Because the old man had beguiled me into thinking that I was giving God a pure praise when I was giving God a sensual praise. That sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. That now I've realized that all the things that I was doing are actually killing me. Not keeping me, but killing me. For we do know this, that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul. Trafficked, disposed of. We were trafficked in the garden. Adam trafficked us. You know what it is to traffic somebody, right? They become your slave.
Yeah.
Or somebody's slave. Well, he trafficked us. When he told Eve, your name shall no longer be woman, but it shall become Eve. Yeah. Eve meaning the mother of all living. But we know from that point on, after the sin of the garden, everything that was born into death. So he prophesied in her life, and he trafficked us. He disposed of us. That's why Jesus had to come. We were sold back unto that which God intended not to be in. For that which I do, I allow not. The word allow in the Greek means to perceive. That which I do, I don't perceive, and a lot of I don't understand. I don't know about you, but I sat down sometimes. I can't cross my legs because of my knees, but I sat there, and I did that finger pose, and I said, how did I allow that to happen? And then when it rolls around the second time, I say to myself, oh, I did it again. And then I question God, Lord, where are you? I thought you said you don't keep me. He said, I am. You're not keeping yourself. I said, I don't understand it. I did not tell you to do all things for me. I said, yes, you did. He said, well, keep yourself. How do I keep myself, Lord? In the Word.
Amen.
Paul realized that there was something going on. But he used the Word of God to interpret the situation. So here I am, sold under sin. That which I do, that which I participate in, I don't really perceive or understand why. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. My God. I can't even begin to tell you some of the stuff I did that I hate. But I did it anyway. I know I'm the only one. And I couldn't understand, Brother Little John, why, even after I was filled with the Holy Ghost, that I was still finding myself falling into these diverse traps.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to get out of them till I recognized that it was me, self, that was creating the atmosphere for the trouble I kept finding myself in. Now, You would say, well, Paul, there were disciples didn't like Paul. There were churches that didn't like Paul. The Romans didn't like Paul. The Jews, nobody cared for Paul, except for them that were really saved. So he was under a lot of persecution. And sometimes we tend to feel sorry for ourselves. And when we get a little deeper with it, we realize, you know what? I'm feeling sorry for myself, and I don't know why yet. I said I've been crying after I've been through some stuff. And I said to myself, I don't know why I'm crying. I've been here before. I want to do the right thing. The word I hate means morally. For what I would, that I do not, but what I morally hate, I do it. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. I'm telling the law, okay, I can't live by the word of God. So I'm jointly consenting to living according to my flesh. What are we living for? Feelings, emotions. Yeah. I've heard folks say, you can't praise God without emotions. Yeah, you can. I used to believe that. I found out you can offer God a pure praise. That's not full of emotionalism. Like you trying to provoke him into doing something special for you that you've already asked him to do.
Yeah,
Paul said, I consent. Now then, it is no more I. See, this is where the revelation begins to manifest itself. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. The word dwelleth means to occupy or to co-inhabit. See, that's where the battle comes in at. Because there's too many of you. There's two things going on in your life. There's the spirit of the living God. And then there's the carnal nature. Or the old nature. Which wants to eventually, if it had the right to, destroy us. So here he is. He says, that no more that I do it. I don't want to do it, but I've come to the conclusion, the understanding, that there's something else in me that's causing me to carry this stuff the way I'm carrying it, to act the way I act. You know, Paul went off on a lot of folks that at times wasn't supposed to be going off on. But I found out that it's occupying me. And then what I really realized, I'm co-inhabiting it. That's why different scriptures that were quoted, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You can't serve two masters. You will serve the one or either the other. We want to say, we want to compliment the devil and say it's him, but it's not him. If you're full of the Holy Ghost and you still serve Satan, you got a problem. You need to quit playing with yourself. For I found out, Sister Nancy, that in me, this is that same man who has the power to cut his clothes up and send them around the world, and folks are being healed of every diverse disease that you've ever heard of that was created when they gave Jesus them 39 stripes. Here's a man who uses the word of God to bring forth healing and deliverance. Here's a man of God that rebukes spirits out of people's lives in the back of a crowd. Whom he most certainly did not see, but he sensed it. But yet here he is saying, but I see that there's something in me that's trying to control me. That don't want me to live right. Don't want me to walk upright before God. Don't want me to have faith in God. Don't want the character and the nature of my Father to manifest itself. There is something that is dwelling in me. I'm co-inhabiting someone that's trying to control my thoughts, my ideas, my principles, my speech, my actions. I know that in me, that is, in my what? Dwelleth no good thing. That's why the word God tells you, do not put your confidence in me, I'm flesh. You better trust God. Put your trust in me. Put your trust in God. Amen. Oh Lord, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me. Well, but how to perform that which is good, I'm having a problem with it. I know. Been through some stuff, and I come to the realization that I know things that have happened, and I have told myself, don't be moved by it. But I found myself in the midnight hours remembering what I told myself not to be moved by. I want to do the right thing, and the right thing is not to be moved by what I sense, or by what I'm feeling, or what I'm imagining, or reasoning within myself. I know that God doesn't want me to do that, because anytime I'm doing that, I can't hear from Him. I can't sense Him. I can't feel Him. Paul is coming to this understanding. But how to perform, or to manifest it, or to make it happen. I'm having a problem with it. The will of God always favors the good, but the problem is I have a problem at times with performing it, or making it happen. That's when God dropped this in my spirit years ago. He said, I'm going to give you something that's going to be a blessing to you if you remember and you say it all the time to yourself. You remind yourself of it. I said, what is it, Lord? He said, stop taking everything personal. I think it was the same man who wrote that the old nature has enmity with God. It's funny, at about 3 o'clock this morning, I was up with sinus and stuff, and I'm walking through the house, and I'm talking to God, and I heard God said, I'm going to tell you this for the last time. I'm going to tell you this. Satan. Did you hear me? I said, yes, I hear you. He says, Satan has authority over the air. The old man has authority over the earth. And after God, don't get deep on me. He said, I'm telling you this because man comes from the dust of the ground. So the only way you can keep you under subjection to the power of God is through the power of the Holy Ghost working in the Word of God.
Yeah.
If you don't, you will lose yourself. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I don't find it because I'm trying to find it in myself instead of trusting in God.
Yeah.
This blew me away, Brother John, when I started reading this, and God began to give me understanding of this, because I found out that there's something that I have to do for God.
That's right.
19, for the good that I would, I do not. Lots of times you've heard God tell you to do something that sometimes will take you out of your way or empty your pockets. What do we tell ourselves? That ain't God, that's my flesh. Or we reason within ourselves. Is Is that you, Lord? Couldn't be. You wouldn't dare tell me you're going to give them my last. For the good that I would, I do not. For the evil which I would not, that I do. Evil. It means depraved. There's a lot of depraved things that we have in our lives that we don't think are depraved. I found out most of the depravity in my life is in my mind. It's in my thoughts. It's in my reasonings. In my ideas. It's not what I do with my body, but it's what's been invested in my mind.
Amen.
I've had to rebuke myself, Fred. Lord, why don't you just kill? Just get him out of my way. And then the word of God said, be not deceived, God's not mocked. If you're going to sow them thoughts, you're going to be the first to reap them thoughts. So I stopped playing with God. Paul had all kinds of stuff going on in his head where he was trying to keep it from separating him from the ministry that he had been sent to do, that he had been sent to perform. Now, if I, you know what he says? He said I, because he understands that he's the one that's got to get this thing together. Jesus, he realized that he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he cannot expect Jesus to come sit next to him and hold his hand.
Yeah.
Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Why, he said, the reason why I find out that it's the old man that's in me, for I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. God told me to bless you, Sister Michelle. At the same time, my mind said, she don't need it. Or, here I am, I'm praying for you, for God to hear you. In my mind, my flesh is saying, every time you look up, you're praying for them. These are things that want to separate us from God. That's why you have to think on these things.
Amen.
Things which are pure.
Yes.
Good report.
Yes.
This old boy is out for death.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Saints who have been in a house are falling by the wayside continually. And they don't know why. More Christians are committing suicide than ever before in the world. And why? Because they do not understand how they've gotten into the situations that they've gotten into when they serve God most of their lives. The problem is they didn't recognize where the problem was emanating from. They kept looking around instead of looking within. If I can control him, then I can do a work for God. So I find this law that when I would do good, that he's always present. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I'm happy about the law of the Lord. I'm happy about the word of God after the Christ is in me, after the spirit of the Lord that's in me, the inward man. But I'm always seeing another, something other, something different than that which I know to be God. God says love and not hate. I see this. The word see means to perceive. I don't see it naturally, but I perceive it. I understand that it's working through me because it doesn't align itself with this word. And the law against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity of the law of sin which is in my members. Or the idea of the old man, which is to separate you from God. That's his idea. That's what he's in your life. That's why he's... Adam always wanted to be separated from God. Did you think if he wanted to be separated from God, he wouldn't go separate you? Jesus came, though. He said, I have come that you might have life. I come to bring death, put death under subjection. And in the process of bringing death under subjection, you'll have a more abundant or a bountiful life. That means that you can have happiness when you're sad. You can praise him when you don't feel like it. You can be encouraged when you're discouraged. You can be uplifted when you're feeling broken. These things don't have authority and dominion over you because you realize that I am in you. He comes to the max of the matter. Oh, wretched man. That I am. I thought I was all that. And I realized that I'm not. I realized I've been saved by grace just like everybody else. In spite of what God is doing in my life, I'm still saved by grace. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because only Jesus can save you from the body of death that's in us. Proverbs actually deals with a lot of the old man about haughtiness, bigotry, and being uplifted, and being a proud look, all these things. That's death. Close. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. When you say, I do mine, it deals with, I entertain, or I have an opinion, or I interest myself, or to set affections on. So then with the mind, I myself strive to the law of God. I want to serve God. I want to be what God wants me to be and not what I want to be. I want to go where he wants me to go. I want to say what he wants me to say. But I know that the flesh or the old man wants to serve the law of itself. When it's talking about law, it's talking about principles. When it's talking about the mind, it's talking about your intellect or your understanding. That's why the Bible says, with all you're getting, get what? Understanding. The saints of God aren't getting understanding because they don't know who their real problem is. I'm going to read this to you. The mind is the new nature indeed. Listen closely. This is the experience of everyone who is the subject of the grace of God and has received the gift of the new nature as a sign of God's justification. Not the experience of the one man in two successive stages, but the coexistence of the two experiences in the one man at the same time. You are in a battle. It ain't God that makes you feel sorry for yourself. He don't have nothing to do with that. It ain't God that makes your faith waver. It has nothing to do with that. We are in a warfare. And if we don't learn how to pertain or nullify that which is trying to gain power in our lives, folks are going to miss God. Most importantly, they're going to miss their visitation. I always say, Father, never let me miss my visitation with you. Because I guarantee you will always be a life-changing experience. But if the oil in the lamp ain't burning, he's not going to show up. The foolish virgin acted out of her flesh and her morality, which told her to burn it down. But if you look to the Spirit of God, it'll teach you to hold fast to your profession of faith. Without what? Wavering. Without getting emotional. Or sensationalizing everything. But believing and trusting in the Word of God. I know that I want to serve God, Sister Nancy, but I also know that there's a certain person in me that wants to set me from everything that God has promised me. Yeah. Now I have a choice. I can make my way and strive for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, meaning I have to press into the things of God, or I can sit back and wait on God to come to me. And find out that he never shows up. Because God always blesses when you're in the press. Lord, show me, teach me, strengthen me, so that I can keep me under subjection to you. The word ain't no good if we don't live by it. It's just a law. It's just another commandment. The word gets its strength from my lifestyle. I pray, Lord, let me not be moved. Take it personal. That's why the joy of the Lord is your strength. Because if you don't have joy, you take everything personal. And you find out that there's something operating in you, definitely trying to separate you from God. Amen. I'm determined that if I have to walk through the night, crawl, to get to Jesus, I'm going to get there. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's only one way you can change your circumstances. It's by revitalizing your thoughts and your ideas into what the Word of God says. Don't get me wrong, I don't have no doubt. We're going to do exactly what God wants to do. I have no doubt in that. It's just how long it's going to take you to get there to do it. Moses hit the wilderness at 40. He didn't get the job started until he was 80. Because between 40 and 80, he was rebuilt. Jesus, with grace, he hit the ground running. He was already running and he was still in the manger. How was he running? Because there were people all over the world talking about him.
Yeah.
Paul was deeply concerned, because if he didn't have nothing else, he wanted his good works to be spoken good of. That's why you find different groups of scriptures like, you think you've been through, I'm paraphrasing, you think you've been through something. I've been shipwrecked and beaten by my own countrymen and beaten thrice and starving to death and naked and in the cold and all the things he's telling folks that he experienced from the kingdom of God. What he's saying is, what you whining for? I didn't like it, but I kept going. When I was scantily clothed out there, freezing to death in the cold, I didn't look for shelter because I knew my shelter was in Christ. And that's when he wrote, because I've been kept by the power of God. The word power is translated dunamis, but if you take it a little bit deeper, it's translated love. I've been protected, encouraged, uplifted, strengthened, healed, delivered by the love of God. You know what God expects from us? What Paul realized. I got to bring me under subjection, so that I can have all that God has promised me, and then some. Because if I don't control me, I can't get with him. So we're on a mission. Different verses I hear coming to my remembrance. Be hard as a soldier. Paraphrasing it. When they send them out there, you know, you ever watch the World War II things that they have on? I watch that History Channel, and I watch the World War II wars, the things, and I see men out there in the 40s or whenever, that those feet are frostbitten, and they still have to fight to stay alive. They're determined, regardless of their condition or their circumstances, they're going to do what they've been trained to do. So whatever feelings or emotions that are going off in them, they know that there's a job that's got to be done, and the only way to get it done is to press forward. Everybody stay. Told the Lord, I'm going to do this. Amen. Regardless of what I go through. I don't care how bad I may feel. I'm going to get this done.
Amen.
I don't care what people think. I don't care what I think. I'm going to press my way in.
Amen.
Because I understand what God has for me,
yeah,
is for me.
Yeah.
And it's only up to me to get in there and get it. And as long as I let feelings and emotions and circumstances and situations separate me from what God has promised me, it is nobody's fault but mine. So you better get in there and get what God has for you.
Yes. Amen.
But surely, my children, understand this. Obstacles are surely a way of life. But so am I, saith God. For in me shall you move, live, and have your being. And I shall strengthen you from the very bottom of your heart. And you shall know that none of these weapons that have been created and formed against you shall have the power, the authority, the dominion to overcome you. So I say unto you, my people, fight the good fight of faith. Run this race with the patience that I have already provided you with, understanding that my love will go with you and before you. Therefore, my children, you have to separate yourself from those things in your life that you know are trying to keep you from me. For I am a holy and a righteous God, And that which is in you, which is hidden and wants to kill you and bring you to death, is not righteous and is not holy. But I have given you victory over that. I have given you authority and dominion over it. So cast down every imagination or reasoning within yourself why you don't have what you shall have, why you're not where you are. For I am the Lord thy God. In the midst of your praise shall I bless you. In the midst of your worship shall I heal you. That which you have need of, know that I have already went before you to make it straight. Therefore, bring you under subjection and know that I am God, not just today, but tomorrow and in the future. I shall be your God and I shall make your every way straight, saith the Lord. Therefore, lift up your eyes and your heart toward me and offer me the praise and surety and purity that I'm waiting for, saith God. Hallelujah. Don't get me wrong. This old boy in here is powerful. He done had some good teaching. Just like the experiences I had in Christ, I had them experiences in the world. And he taught himself how to survive. So don't you think for one second that he's just going to lay down and let God have his way in your life. But see, you can praise him anyway, because God don't do it as long as you put yourself in a position to have it done.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Everybody come down and take somebody by the hand.